should we always have that part at the beginning where we're like rapping? Should it start with this, just like rapping?
Well, it's gonna be really natural now. Because normally whenever you talk about how you want,
we're gonna be cool. It'll like start with us being like really cool.
Just like, yeah.
And then it'll start.
If we could have one of the shots where like the guy is carrying the microphone.
Yeah.
And we'll be casual. I'll make like a joke about like the cab ride over here, yeah. And I don't know it yet. But
and
it'll
I'll
really
shout
funny.
To my personal assistant. I'll be like, Diane, Diane.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll yell, "Get that gaffer out of here!" And then we'll talk about Best Boys.
Yeah. Can my name is Justin.
Can we change the name of the show to Best Boys?
Best Boys.
Best Boys.
Best Boys.
Where the four best boys are the best.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
The year.
The year.
Dipshit.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I don't know the best game of the year yet because we haven't decided it, and I'm not prejudiced.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I'm part of the process.
My name is Ross Rorschach, and I know the best game of the week.
Seeing it in person is the worst. This is the Besties Year End Clubhouse Super Special, where we, this is the enchilada. Oh boy.
This is it. This is the Tostito right here. It's all happening at this table.
This is happening, the Tostito.
The Nacho Chili Supreme.
This is the, I'm hungry.
Doritos, tacos.
It's 10 a.m. and I want cheese and chili. I've got to start planning what I'm going to say. When there's four cameras, I get too nervous.
I know.
So this is the Besties Year End Special, where we've got a list. I'm like Adam Sessler over here, like a real pro. got a list of games that we're going to talk about. You voted at home on our top 16. You helped us build this list, and you decided which games would go against which with our seating, our very professional seating.
It looks like a college sports thing.
Yeah,
it looks like a
but one that's never gotten laid.
Right, exactly.
And I'm sure there's something flashy that the people at home are seeing. I'm just seeing a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Is it here? No, I mean, we're giving extra work right now.
Floating
right now, I'm tickling FTL right now.
It's giggling. But I think before we get started, we should actually show people what they're competing for.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Besties Award. You've been wondering all year long.
This is
the heretofore unnamed Besties Award.
Unnamed, and we've named it. And it is Griffin. Oh, is
the Bestie Supreme? That's
what
we're going
Bestie
with.
The Bestie Supreme.
Okay. It again sounds like some sort of Mexican food order.
And he's beautiful.
This is handcrafted.
Yes.
Wholly original artwork.
This is a big man. Which means he's got a big heart with which to love games a lot. So that was the first piece of symbolism.
You guys knew I was a goldsmith.
Right, I did know that about you.
Was this card, it was a single block?
It was
gold?
A single block.
Okay. And that's how you horribly burned your hand when you were a child.
Yeah, it's actually, I don't want to show it to you. I'm Johnny Tremaine.
He's sitting there and he's contemplating video games and he's contemplating friendship.
Yep. It's almost like he's holding something here, but he's not. Like, it almost looks like it could be like a chainsaw gun or something.
I don't know. I didn't want to spoil this for everyone, but the winner, we're going to put a little flag that goes in here. And I did this on purpose.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And a little flag is going to go in here with Bestie Winner 2012 and then that game. But we didn't want to include that. We didn't want any spoilers.
Can he hold another flag that says, this is not a Gears of War thing, just to like, get us out of any
Sure, I mean, I don't know why anybody would think that.
I mean, this is an original piece.
It's an original piece. Wait, speaking of no, I have no segue. We're in Barcade today. This is very cool, being able to shoot here in, if you've never been over to Barcade in Brooklyn.
Is that the right borough?
That is the borough.
The neighborhood is?
Brooklyn.
Williamsburg.
Brooklynburg.
Sure, Brooklynburg, that's close.
Yeah, Williamsburg, you go over across, let me give you the directions.
Can you draw me a map on the back of our bracket?
You go across, you find a yellow car.
Okay. Any yellow car?
Yellow car.
Okay.
You get in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You tell a man that you want to go to 388 Union.
Okay.
And he will say, I swear to God, Gumlaplas.
Gunglaplas.
Gunglaplas.
Okay.
Gunglaplas is okay. What this man said to me.
And that's he said, common New York slang.
Gunglaplas.
Yep.
And I was like, I don't know. I gave you an address, and I said, Gunglaplas.
And I mean, we know what that means. Right. Yeah. You're from New York, you know Gunglaplas.
Like, I don't know if you've ever wondered what the sign of a serial killer is, but it's probably when somebody flips over a piece of paper and it's their boss's head ripped clean in half.
Did I get the mouth? I did. I got the mouth in the way.
That's good. Fantastic. That's brothers. That's okay, so anyway, I think let's get
into this.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Get into it.
Well, let me describe how we set this bracket up. We had 16 finalists.
How did we pick those finalists?
Well,
Over the course of the year.
We recorded a podcast.
I'm just reminding you, for people that are just joining us.
Welcome. You've chosen a fine time to get on board. Right here at the end, that's a choice. And I do mean the end. We've argued about these games. We've fought about these games. We got a list of our 12, and then the audience got to choose 3 wild cards. And we chose our own wild card last week. The audience then voted on which game they thought had the best.
And then we got rid of one of our 12, and then we picked the second wild card.
It got very confusing.
The point is, we have 16 great games.
The audience, you at home, voted on which games you thought had the best chance of winning. That's how we seeded. So the top voted game will compete against the 16th, the second compete against the 15th,
That's how sports does it.
Like in sports. If you've ever seen sports,
yeah,
it's like that. So
Huey Lewis in the news.
You want to get into it with our first match off?
Yeah. Do you want me to announce?
Yeah.
Number one, Hotline Miami. Now I want to say really quick, just to underline this.
It's a fine game, but best chance of winning.
The users voted, and they said not that this was the best game or their favorite game, but this is the one they thought had the best chance of winning. So
I think there might be some juicing going on.
Devolver might have had some impact.
I'm worried about its chances though, because the game it's going up against
is number 16, Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Wow. You know what? Not as easy a decision for me personally. I've played both of these games in the last week, and just like gut instinct where I'm going, I mean, Hotline Miami is certainly doing some interesting things, but I think Need for Speed is the whole package. It's competently built, it's gorgeous, it makes a genre accessible to me that I have not had any interest in a decade.
Why are you talking like somebody in like a political advertisement?
I'm just laying it out. I think Need for Speed is the...
Where did this come from?
The obvious?
The past 2 months...
I know.
The two of us have been defending Need for Speed Most Wanted as one of the best games of the year.
And you and Russ have
done a great job of not playing it.
I did. And again, I messed up and I played it. And it's really good. And it's better than Hotline Miami.
Oh, okay. Well,
can we take a consensus vote to begin?
Okay, that's a good
idea. I think, where are we at right now? I think Need for Speed.
I think probably Hotline Miami.
I think Need for Speed, but I just played through Hotline Miami, like all of it in a single day, and it really got deep inside in my bones.
This is what I want to say. I've played both of them. I admittedly have not completed Hotline Miami, which I realize is a large portion of why people like it, but this is what I will say in favor of it. Need for Speed is essentially Burnout Paradise. It's a very refined Burnout Paradise, but it's essentially that game. Whereas it is.
Hotline Miami is a very refined Smash TV. So,
Hotline Miami plays like no game I've ever played before. It really does play like a totally unique game. The art style is totally unique. The soundtrack is baller. I think you got to give it originality.
Soundtrack's licensed.
What?
Soundtrack's
for Hotline Miami?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't created for that originally.
I'm sorry. Need for Speed Most Wanted's original soundtrack.
Muse wrote that song for Hotline Miami.
But I like Batman Forever, but I'm not gonna give it an Oscar because you two let the Muse hold me, kill me, twist and kill me on there.
I used to see you.
Oh, good. Let's do that for the rest of the thing that we're doing.
It pains me to throw Need for Speed Most Wanted out. I love this game, and I wish it wasn't going up against Hotline Miami. I think Hotline Miami, one, I think it has the originality thing. Two, I think top to bottom, it's weird because the controls are goofy. There's a lot of goofiness to it. It's kind of glitchy, but I just feel like it's totally cohesive. I feel like he set out to make that thing, and it is all there.
Yep.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with any part of it.
Yeah.
While Need for Speed, it is Burnout Paradise, and it still has, after
it has
all
a
these
lot of
years,
problems.
Some of those problems.
Right. I am willing to, because I've had more fun, like those screaming moments playing Need for Speed Most Wanted, like when you have those like white knuckle races that just come down to the last second and you do all these crazy stunts that you didn't think you could pull off. Those are great, but it is kind of a technically flawed game. The rubber banding is pretty atrocious at points.
Yeah.
I feel like I love the two games equally, so I'm going to, I'll abstain from this vote, which
wow,
I think.
Wow, already an abstention.
I know.
Abstention.
Is that the right word?
Russ, what, so? You haven't like weighed in with your initial, what do you what
I'm
do you
abstinent.
Think?
So I enjoyed both games, but I feel like because I enjoyed them relatively the same amount, I feel like I would, my
just
gut
abstain.
Instinct.
It feels
no,
great.
F that. I would say you give it to the person that really tried to do something new rather than just building on something that was already there.
Well, see, I don't think that's fair.
It's
because
not
Burnout
fair.
Paradise did not have the sort of hooks that Need
a
for
lot
Speed
of those
most wanted.
But I have a lot of those issues with a lot of those hooks, which are, oh, I just unlock a car. Too bad. You have to go through a lot of basic races to unlock.
No, no,
all
he's talking about the social hooks of
oh.
always being able to see all these challenges that your friends have done around
but
you.
But like, that was in Paradise. That stuff was
yeah.
in Paradise.
Not to the extent. What I would say is, I think Russ made a great point, is the having to get turbo for every single car, the having to drive to find, not being able to just hot select a car wherever you want in the single player thing. Not being able to have the rubber banding.
But like, what you're doing to get that is like a car race, which ostensibly you would enjoy.
But right.
Seeing that you're playing
but
most
you don't
wanted.
Because the tent, I think.
I gotta drive a car.
It's like playing Call of Duty and being like, oh, I just reached level 40. But now we're going to take your assault rifle away that you really
well,
like.
No, yeah, it is actually more like guns. Call of Duty. You earn a gun, and it's like, well, now I have to earn a laser sight? Like, actually, yeah, that's what happens in Call of Duty.
No, but you lose all your progress. Like, when you start a new car... Oh, I understand. Yeah, it's exactly what
happens. And
I
don't like that Call of Duty.
But I don't know. I just got frustrated.
Those aren't my problems with the... Like, I talked about that on the episode of the podcast. We talked about this, where I don't think having to drive to stuff is a big deal, because while you're driving, you get the speed checkpoints, and you get the billboards, and like there's so much stuff to do.
I don't actually like driving. I wish I could tell... I don't
you
like driving.
To driving.
You wish you could drive.
When I see something is 5 miles away, it might as well be 100,000 miles
I agree.
Away. I don't want to drive 5 miles.
You know what I liked? Need for Speed, the run. Just let me get out of my car and do some quick time events.
Okay.
I think we're ready to vote.
I really do abstain. I don't want to pick between these two.
Okay, good.
But
it won't be a tie.
Need for Speed Most Wanted.
No, you go.
Hotline Miami.
Me too. Hotline Miami.
That kills me.
I know. It sucks.
It kills
Wait,
me.
Wait, I don't think this
done.
Is...
Done.
I don't think this is fair.
Okay.
I don't still have to abstain.
I think you need to get on one side of it.
New York abstained in the Revolutionary War.
And this is equally important. I think Hotline's the better game, but I had way more fun playing Need for Speed Most Wanted. Do I go with my gut? Do I go with my heart or my brain? You tell me, you answer me that question.
Well, if you go with Need for Speed, we're in an impasse and it's really annoying.
Right, and we've already taken up way too
wins.
Much time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Hotline Miami wins.
Hotline Miami.
Congratulations, Hotline Miami.
And I'm sorry, Need for Speed.
Do we have the rights for Will Smith's Miami? Can we play that over this and be like, uh-uh.
Welcome to Miami when I hear you song. Up next, we have number 3, Journey, versus number 14, Mark of the Ninja. Journey, of course, is the multiplayer game where you don't know you're playing with people on your adventure into the sand mountain.
Sometimes there is snow, which is basically whiter sand.
Yeah, my goal is to reduce beautiful games to the worst.
As their base component. Yeah.
Sorry. The snow is also colder than the sand.
Got it. Mark of the Ninja is the stealth game in which you are a ninja.
Very little sand in Mark of the Ninja.
There is sand.
Quite a bit of sand.
Well, yeah, there's a few levels of sand.
There's a sand level, so
you
don't
worry.
You
didn't get to that part.
I haven't gotten to the sand.
So this, of course, is the infamous sand battle round. let's do our preliminary vote just to see if this one's a wash.
Although I do want to discuss these games a little bit.
For sure.
Okay.
I'd like to get the vote. So
Journey?
Mark of the Ninja.
Journey.
Journey.
Okay. I will explain why I said Mark the Ninja like a fool.
Although I would say I have a very strong fondness for Mark the Ninja.
Yes.
But they ain't getting a trophy, and that's all that matters to them. When we give them that trophy, it's going to boost their sales by like $5. Dollars.
Yes.
My argument for Mark the Ninja, and we'll see this with the later game that we discuss, is I like games. Like I like games where I like feel the mechanics. Like old school arcade games are some of my favorite things. And Mark the Ninja is a game. Like you're stealth, and you can see the sound. You can see what you're... When you have an action, you can sense what the reaction is going to be.
Yeah.
More so than any stealth game that I've played, maybe ever, this game makes every stealth component very obvious.
It's all codified. Like you, the vision cones. Like you know, when you create sound, you can see the sound. Yeah. Like it really like resolves all the obfuscation of like, can they see me in this grass or not?
In like Metal Gear, you're guessing more often than not. It's like, oh, they're like 50 feet away, but you're crouched and you're wearing camouflage. Could be, couldn't be. But
you're making eggs.
Yeah, you're cooking some eggs in a plane as a little girl. But in Mark and the Ninja, you know 100% of the time, can they see me, can they hear me? And it makes you feel more badass, because it's like, oh, I can go here, latch onto the wall, kill this guy from behind without making a sound, jump onto his other friend, do some things with his other friend that we're not going to talk about, and then, you know, like, it makes you feel like a ninja.
It's weird.
That's... Man.
And here's my one problem with Journey, because I love Journey, but Genova Chen, the designer, is very well known for taking the components out of a game that he feels can cause any negative experience. Like he what inspired Journey was a Left 4 Dead game in part. Yeah. He was playing it and people were mean to him, and he didn't like that there was this antagonism within that world, and his thought
what
was...
Game?
Left 4 Dead, where people would, you know, troll him.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's a zombie game made by the most popular video game developer of all time.
Okay.
So with Journey, he took away a lot of the things like voice, so you can't have that relationship with people. And at a certain point, while I respect that and I respect what Journey is, I feel like it's like sanding off all the edges. And when I play Journey, it feels so smooth that it feels almost too safe. And at a certain point, while I do enjoy that there's kind of these things happening with other people around you and that you're having like a single player experience with multiple people, it just feels almost like...
I disagree with you a little bit, because you can still grief people in Journey, because I did. I did do it, because if somebody's trying to like jump up on a platform and you stand on front of them and just go like, you know, all you can do is sing at them, but you can do it in a way that
really
is great.
Just
boo, 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 boo. People
sorry,
don't love
it. Sorry, coming
boo,
in.
Boo, 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 boo. You jumping? Hey, you jumping? They don't like that.
No.
They don't like that.
How much better would the game have been, though, if instead of going boo, you could have gone, hey, you
jumping? Yes, I jump. I've done this jump before. You want tips?
press circle for jump.
Double
tip.
Tap. You got to get the dragon statue. Let's you jump higher.
Where were all the levels?
That's a good point.
That's my problem with Journey.
Well, hold on. Sand.
Points.
Snow.
Where's the points?
There's no
cool...
There were collectibles.
I wanted more kill animations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More
there's,
points.
There's just the one.
Finishing.
More finishing moves?
Yeah.
More DLC?
My serious point of view on Journey, and the reason why I picked it.
Now he's serious.
Also, Journey here was spelled without a U. Whoever wrote that.
Journey. It's a French child's name.
My attitude towards Journey is that of like all the games this year, this is the game that, for someone that's never played a video game before, this is the game that I would pick for them to play. It requires no video game knowledge. It looks amazing. You have an emotional experience while playing it. You really do. Like, I was like, what is wrong with you? You're giggling at me like a small child.
I thought the same thing.
You don't think so?
My wife is like my litmus test for can a game be played by someone who doesn't play games whatsoever. And in the first level, the first thing she did was just turn around and then try to walk in the opposite direction.
And then died in the desert.
They just hit the invisible wall. She's like, I don't get it. Why can't I go over here? And I was like, you immediately
but there's
found...
Wind.
What?
There's
I
wind.
Know. And
the
she
wind
was,
pushes you
she
back.
She was furious. She was like, how do I get past the wind?
Oh.
And it's like...
So maybe not.
Let's just say that it requires a certain level of willingness to play the game.
I just think it's exceptionally impressive that they, you know, what did I just play? Far Cry, which has a ton of dialogue, and I felt no huge emotional connection to it, whereas this has zero dialogue, and was like, by the end of it, I'll admit, because I'm comfortable in my masculinity, to say that I was close to tears by the end of it.
So close that you went over that line a little bit,
yeah,
and
a little
cried
bit.
A lot of
a little
tears.
Bit. And might have shed all my
how many in fluid ounces, how many tears?
It might have felt like a thimble.
Okay.
Perhaps.
I am willing to declare Journey the winner of this. Mark of the Ninja, it's a fine showing.
Excellent game, Mark of the Ninja.
Excellent game, Mark of the Ninja. I liked all the points, personally. Maybe these other guys don't like points. Walking and not dead?
I hate walking. I prefer...
If anything versus walking, I don't know what blopping is, but I'd rather blop than walk any day. Look at me.
Save this gold.
Good. Are we getting this?
Are we getting this gold?
Nice job.
I did it. You did it, you guys.
You did it.
Okay, next up, number 2, Walking Dead versus number 15, Black Ops 2. That is a zombie storytelling game. And,
A zombie storytelling game.
Yeah, and the game where you shoot people and everybody buys it.
That are also zombies.
And there's zombies in that one too.
Are we
video games, everybody?
So are we doing most purchased game of the year? That's what we're doing. I feel like I was the biggest proponent of Black Ops 2 when we put it into the Hall of Fame because of the multiplayer. And let me just say, a month after having played the game, the multiplayer experience has basically done what every other Call of Duty multiplayer experience has done for me, which is I stop playing it for a week because I go out of town for Thanksgiving or whatever, and by the time I get back, every 15-year-old has like quadruple prestiged, and it's like so good and knows where all the best points are at the map, and I just can't compete anymore.
Well, like, serious question, why were you doing something that wasn't playing Black Ops 2?
You really do have to like get into the church of Call of Duty if you want to like stay on point. If you back out for like a day, then everybody is the talent curve just like gets so crazy out of control, and you can't keep up with it.
Yeah, you can really only enjoy them for the initial few weeks.
That being said, those initial few weeks were like really, really great. Again, it's like almost like every year, it's my favorite multiplayer shooter.
They have done so. I mean, there's only so much I can blame them for. Like, I know that the ranking stuff must be hard. I did not participate. Did you participate in the league?
That's what's upsetting is they have this entire system of matchmaking, the league play.
Yeah.
But it is completely separate from the rest of the multiplayer experience in that if you do league play, you basically have to... There's no leveling. There's no unlocking
stuff.
Well,
you do earn experience for playing league play that carries over to your other matches.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I just didn't even mess with
just
it.
Just not.
But why not offer that sort of matchmaking in the rest of the...
There are issues because it's like whether people can join mid-match and whether how long it's going to take for you to find a match, all that stuff
comes
into
play.
I would agree with you. I wish I was playing people that were more on my skill level. I can still play Black Ops and have fun, but it is very clear that like
I have way more fun when we started playing and everybody was on the same.
I just wish that there was a playlist. Like at the beginning of the game, you boot up the game, you're like, do you have a job? Do you have a life?
Right.
That's the playlist you're going to be in from now on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, oh, no job? That's fine. You can go and play with the psychopaths.
I should push your buttons. Says I don't plan on getting better.
Right.
I don't plan.
This
on
is as good. This is as good as I'm gonna get. Yeah. Even like a personal trainer in real life would be like, 190. Like you are good. You're not gonna get any better than that. Like just chill on 190 for a while.
Do you know what my fantasy is for these games though? Is the asynchronous multiplayer of like a Need for Speed. Where I can like just shoot Russ. Like somehow it learns Russ's AI and it actually digitally puts his like him there. And I don't want to hurt him. I want this to be a paintball mode because I love Russ.
Right.
But like I do want to be able to like hurt him with like the pain of
you
like
mean
a paintball
real
gun.
Human Russ that's there.
Yeah, we're okay. Like put him in the game, take his
so
AI.
Russ is wearing a special bracelet, and inside this bracelet is maybe like a needle, and then the needle will like jab him a little bit whenever you shoot him like that.
Wait, what are you? This is
where did this? Where,
no,
what
I didn't
happened?
Mean that. What? Let me backpedal.
You okay. Want Russ the person to be digitized Tron style and put into the game so you can shoot him,
and then with I would die in real
with,
life.
No, with paintballs.
No, I would miss you.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I want it to be a paintball mode one, because I would miss you, and it would also hurt the show. But two.
Would it?
It would hurt the show while you're still here.
It would make the show quieter.
It would, but. But too, I would like an asynchronous, like I would love for something that could learn how people behave in the game and then somehow like reproduce that. It's fiction. I'm wanting a fictional
I know what
thing.
You mean. You want to see a Justin bot that's going, ah!
And then I can always just play with my friends.
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. You love Walking Dead. You love it.
How deep, because I feel like Walking Dead's a pretty good lock for this round. Do we want to really go deep into Walking Dead this round?
I think we can save it.
We can continue to talk about Walking Dead because it's going to have a tough fight in the next round with me. Walking Dead is Walking Dead is a great example of why I don't think game is an adequate word to use anymore. Because if you look at Walking Dead, if we're talking about the best games of the year, Walking Dead is not a great game. It is a genre-changing, medium-altering narrative experience. But I do have to have...
Go on, please.
No, let me continue.
It's already on the back of the box. You don't have to
I'm
going to
contrast
it.
This. I'm going to contrast this. The fact that they can do that, but they cannot master putting a gun and letting me shoot four people in the head, they can't competently do that, is to me a big deal.
But really, it's an adventure game.
There's no excuse for anything being bad. Don't do something you can't do.
Is it bad though?
It's really bad.
I don't think you move the cursor over the guy's head and you don't shoot them. Use gun on
head.
We're
also talking about maybe 1% of the 99, 100% experience.
Black Ops 2 has the best ending.
It's no.
Where's the Avenged Sevenfold in The Walking Dead?
I think it's really interesting that these two are facing off because I do think Walking Dead is a game. I think the problem is that our instinct is to use game as a very specific label, and it just is broader than we tend to think.
Right.
But Walking Dead is an interactive system, which is like what a game is. You know,
I played it on my Xbox.
You made a great point where the game itself is happening in your head when you're making those quick decisions.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
And the system is reacting to that.
Right, exactly. You shouldn't consider the game of Walking Dead to be, oh, I hit A really fast on the zombie, even though that's part of the game. The real game is, you have 3 seconds to determine who lives and who dies in this
moment. This is my problem, though. But that's not a game.
That is a game.
No, it's not. A game has to have a failure state.
I'm sorry, Roger Ebert. We're defining games now.
And also, Walking Dead definitely has a failure
not
state.
Not for the wrong choices. Don't tell me that's the game. If making the wrong narrative choices cannot lead to a fail state, then that's not a game.
Why does a game need to have a fail state? Journey doesn't have a fail state.
Journey's not a game either. It's an interactive work of art.
Wow.
We're done here.
But to wrap that up, I do think Journey whether what he says is crazy or not.
No, Journey has mechanics. Journey,
Professor Layton doesn't have a fail
state. I don't mean fail state like game over screen. I mean, if I'm in Journey and I play well enough, then I can get a longer scarf that lets me do more tricks and stunts.
Okay.
Mechanics.
Yeah. So you don't give your energy bar to Clementine. She starves to death on the road.
Never
and
happens.
Then a screen pops up and says, game over, yeah!
No,
that's what you want.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it alters your experience. It changes the narrative, but it's not a game mechanic. It's not a game mechanic to say, I side with Larry instead of David.
You are splitting hairs.
Oh, it's
an important distinction.
We're going to discuss this more in the next round. But what I would like to say is that...
I'm not saying it's a negative. I'm just saying the linguistics are important.
It's a great round because I think it shows the two far extremes of what video games are right now. One is the most arcadey, pure mechanics, pure, boy, does it feel good to shoot things in the face.
Although it is kind of funny because Black Ops 2 has, in its campaign, decision-making moments that actually change the way it plays out.
And then Walking Dead is the exact opposite. But it doesn't matter because Walking Dead won.
Congratulations, Walking Dead.
Next up, number 4, Far Cry 3 versus number 13, Max Payne 3. The Battle of the Threequels.
I think this is going to be a short one.
Far Cry 3 is you run around the jungle killing everything you can.
Yeah.
Max Payne 3, you run around Brazil killing everything you can.
Yeah.
Far Cry 3 wins. So,
I don't think we need to go.
I want to talk about Max Payne 3.
Max Payne 3 was so critically lauded, and we all seem to despise it.
No.
Likes it.
Hold on. 1 second. I thought the gameplay, the combat, the shooting in Max Payne 3 was sound for the most part. Chris Plant made a good point earlier where he was saying...
There's an amazing level.
Yeah, so that when it's like close quarters office fighting is like really cool. Unfortunately, it does get like sunk by these weird large open street levels, which kind of don't work.
You know what drives me crazy is whenever anybody defends Max Payne 3, they say, what about that scene where you're in the airport and there's the walking escalators and that health song is playing and it's so dope? And that is like, I feel like, the moment that game was designed to support.
Right.
Except it's like a giant long hallway and you get torn to shreds 3 seconds in if you stay out in the open. It's,
yeah, so I thought the shooting, the core shooting gameplay felt really good, but the story just goes nowhere. Like, you keep expecting it to take a left turn. And it's
the
just like...
story is about the worst bodyguard in the history of bodyguarding. Like, don't worry, I'll keep you safe. Oh, you're on fire in a trash can. Whoops. Sorry, let me put it out.
I feel super bad.
I only have a gun. I don't have a fire extinguisher.
Oh, wait. Let me take a shot of whiskey.
Can I shoot the fire out? Well, I shot you instead because you're inside of the fire.
Yeah. I also just feel like the game failed to do what it tried to do, and that... Rockstar's ambitions are to make these like beautiful movie games that people who don't like video games are going to be attracted to, and that wasn't the case.
I mean, if you played it on super duper easy, but even on normal, that is a brutally difficult game.
It is very difficult, and it takes away from what I think is the core cool experience of Max Payne, is that moment when there's five guys in front of you and you jump out from behind something and slow-mo kill them. If you attempted to shoot dodge out of cover and shoot guys, you would fall on the ground and two people would shoot you with shotguns and you'd die. and they turned it into a cover-based shooter, which is like not what it's good at and not fresh or enjoyable or fun or what the game's about.
It also feels like, I mean, the game was in development for an eternity.
Yeah. Right.
And it does feel like one of those things where I think the level structure, I mean, those things were probably done very early in that, and they quadrupled down on that bet, and they're like, well, let's make it so the 360 turning feels amazing, and let's show, like, exactly where the bullets hit you, and let's make the graphics better, 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 and at no point did they say, like, wait, why are we not, why don't we like this game? It probably is because the game, like, probably because of the levels.
Yeah.
Probably why we didn't want to release it in the first place is because the game isn't quite
I don't think
there.
It's a bad game, but I think it's a fine game. I think it's a fine game.
I think it is one of the most beautiful, okay games I've ever played.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Far Cry 3, Far Cry. Which we'll talk plenty more about later, is the winner, and next round. Up next, Dishonored, number 5 on our list, versus Borderlands 2, number 12 on our list.
More like Borderlands, Dishonored wins.
I don't get it. What do you mean? Like, that's how it's called. It's called Borderlands.
Bored.
Yeah, like Borderlands.
I'm bored. If you can't read this, it says Magic Ninja versus Border. I'm bordering on whether or not I'm having fun yet.
Yeah. Ironically, there's a Magic Ninja in Borderlands 2 as well.
I'm sure everything is in there because, God, what didn't they put into that game?
I can't remember if we talked how much we talked about Border. Did we talk about Borderlands?
We talked about it. Bad nods.
I mean, it is very well written.
Right,
but it's essentially the game that you played 2 years
ago. If I had infinite time,
that was still rough.
If I had infinite time and only one game, it would be a pretty good game because there's lots of things to do.
There's a lot to be said for a game that has a seemingly infinite amount of content for you to get into. It's just not my jam anymore. I want a tight 12-hour nut
I got a nut for you. Dishonored.
Okay, you need to finish that sentence a lot faster than you did it.
Let me try it again, but slower.
Okay.
I got a nut for you.
West Virginia.
Dishonored.
What?
Dishonored. Dishonored is the better game.
Yeah,
I think we can
will talk about all the reasons it's better in the next round.
I feel like people are going to be angry because a lot of people voted for Borderlands 2.
Here's the thing about Borderlands 2. It is, like you said, all the time in the world, it's great, but it's a game in which you shoot things and you collect loot, and I can do those two things much better, and the other games are on this list. That's Dishonored, everybody. Guys, it's a big one.
Oh my God.
Number 7, XCOM, Enemy Unknown, versus number 10, Spelunky.
XCOM runs away with it, because XCOM took a genre, tactical action, which is often very dense and hard to access, and it brilliantly uses a scalpel to cut away all the unnecessary things and make a super accessible, fun, tactical action experience that I don't think other developers have been able to wrap their heads around. And it hooked me really hard in a genre that, like, I do not have an interest in. I mean, like, when I first turn it on and I see, like, blue lines and numbers and silhouettes, I'm like, I don't know about all this. And it really wrote me in, so I definitely think it's better than Spelunky. Which
and now for the reverse shot, the other McElroy.
No, it just, I feel like I have no metric for saying whether or not XCOM is a good game, because I really don't play any strategy games, and I was sold on it, like Justin just said, of it being an accessible experience, and I didn't find it to be an accessible experience.
How much time did you put into it?
I put a couple hours, a few hours. The problem wasn't the combat as much as it was everything else, the metagame of, like, developing resources and keeping all these countries happy at the same
time.
It's
incredibly dense. It's opaque, too. Like, you really do not, like, why do I need satellites? What, like, there's so many decisions that you're making.
And they throw it all at you in the first 15 minutes of the game, and you just sort of have to...
I agree.
You got to buy into it deeper than I was willing to.
That could have been executed better. And if we're penalizing games for accessibility, then Spelunky goes right off the charts. It's not accessible at all.
You're out of your mind.
You're crazy.
Because Spelunky it does give you everything right there from the get-go, except for, like, items. You have to find them and figure out where it goes. But basically, you got ropes, you got bombs, you got jumps, you got whips. Like, you know what you're getting into, and you just have to learn how to use them better.
Every time you die, you learn something new.
Right.
I love
a fail state, your favorite.
A fail state. I love XCOM. I think it is not just one of the best games of the year. I think it's one of the best games of the generation. I think what we are here, I think in this battle, these are like two of them, like literally one and two for me up there. They're like very, very high.
Really?
Yeah, they're very high for me. I think what we're getting into is just personal choice. Like, I'm not saying that one is a better game than the other. For this award, I am saying I like one game better. Game is Spelunky.
Who at this table liked XCOM?
I liked it.
I loved
it. Liked XCOM?
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, you liked XCOM. Who at this table likes Spelunky?
I don't like
it.
I
loved
it. That's a 4-3.
Loved it.
That seemed like a 4-3 to me.
Why didn't you like Spelunky?
It's not fun. It's really hard, and I'm bad at it, and I died all the time, and I was sad. That game came out after the derecho had savaged West Virginia. And I needed, that was the time when, like, I needed the Shirley Temple to get me through that depression. I needed something to lift me up. And all that game wanted, it was interesting, it was tearing me down. It just wanted to...
For someone who moaned fail states, it is weird that you're bashing this. Because
I'm not, like, fail state obsessed. I have a better handle on what a game is than you guys do, apparently.
I think the reason you and some people might be turned off by Spelunky is...
You're not hardcore.
No, not at all.
Sorry, casual. Maybe there's some Zynga games I can get you.
He's too hardcore.
It looks like a Zynga game. Does that count?
You feel the need to beat...
It does. It looks like Adventureville.
To beat a game you play.
Shut up.
You want to beat a game you play,
Jungle,
right?
Jungle Force.
Oh, my God. You keep talking about Facebook games. I'm done. It doesn't matter. It's going to win. So.
It is. Says, no, it's not.
No, I'm going to be able to sing his praises in the next round because this is your punishment. For being an interrupting.
I didn't interrupt you.
Let's vote. Let's vote right now.
Yeah, let's vote.
XCOM.
What? XCOM. Perfect. That's 2-2. We're at an impasse.
That to make fire.
I really don't like Spelunky. Okay, can I?
Yeah, go for it.
There is not a mechanic.
Okay, you know what? We're gonna save it. Spelunky won.
Yeah, we're gonna save
it. We'll talk about it when it goes up against Dishonored. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because that's a better.
That's Spelunky, everybody. Next round.
I'm not going to enjoy this filming process if Chris is going to act
like this. No, we're doing it
like
the next round because it's going to be.
I don't appreciate Chris's attitude towards me.
You could beat him up. It's fine.
I don't appreciate Chris's. No, that's not a fun. It's getting sassed is not fun for me personally. I don't think it's a fun.
I heard you like kissing
your cheek. What? You like kissing your cheek?
No, I like.
Your hair smells
funny.
You
get very snippy. I don't like that.
Up next, number 6, Persona 4 versus number 11, Halo 4.
Woo, doggies.
In the battle of who can kill.
Well, let me ask you something before we start this discussion. Do we have to wait 7 hours before we actually start this discussion?
You have been tooting that horn since the minute you picked up Persona. I don't think Persona 4 has a long intro. It just, that's the game. Like, that's the it. You're in
that's
it.
That's a big problem, then. It is glacially slow.
It's not slow. It's introducing.
That's like saying like books are slow because there's no like pages that smell like things. That doesn't make any sense. You have to get 100 pages before a page smells
then
like
I'm
something.
I'm sorry. Then the writing's not good. How was class today, Yukiku? It was great. How was yours? Well, here's my favorite commercial that's coming on. Every day is great at your Jewness.
They had to write a lot of it, though. They can't all make it good.
Oh, you went to class tomorrow? I want to go to class tomorrow. It's 4 p.m. Let's go to the supermarket to get a knife.
Are you a racist? Is that what you're trying to get across to
No, me? I'm trying to say how stilted the localization is.
The localization is fantastic. You are drunk.
The localization is great. The problem is it's repetitive because it worries that you're just missing everything. So you will solve a mystery on your own, and you're like, I'm pretty smart. This game's pretty subtle. And then somebody will walk on the screen and be like, did you hear? Your best friend died.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And then you'll go into school and the teacher will be like, so your best friend died? And you're like, oh, okay, that's a bit much. And you'll turn on the radio and be like, in local news, your best friend died.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
It is frustrating because you can see places like, as strong as I think some of the specific scenes and beats are, you see places in the writing where you're like, oh God, guys, economy of words here.
Right.
Like, we could probably trim this down to a tight 40 hours and be...
I feel like most of the issues
nice,
they...
tight, compact 40
hours. The issues they run into are in the main storyline. Like you guys are talking about, they have to labor to make sure that you're getting everything, which is pretty unnecessary. But in like the side stuff, like all the social link dialogues, like those storylines, I feel like those are pretty tight.
Now, speaking of getting the story and making sure you understand it, let's talk about Halo 4,
Holy shit.
That assumes you've not only read all of the books, but the comic books and maybe the advertising PR they did with Mountain Dew 7-Eleven.
I finished Halo 4 and literally did not know what had just happened.
I read one of
you
the Halo.
The galaxy.
Well, I read one of the Halo books and I had no idea what happened in Halo 4.
But at least you're shooting stuff in the first 2 minutes.
That's something.
With the same weapons as always.
Look, no. Another thing I want to say about Persona 4. What is this, 2007? This game came out already. Let's be honest. Are we really?
Can
we
really
give this?
We're not
going to hold that against Halo 4. I don't see why we're Persona.
There's a lot of stuff added to Persona 4.
Yeah, but enough for it to be a new game.
Who here played it when it first came out?
Okay. All right, so.
Here's what I do like about Halo 4 is that it's the first game for me personally that went back and found what was great about Halo 1, which was these giant open spaces and vistas where you would walk somewhere and you would just be shocked that they like did this in a game. Like, that's just so big and it feels so immediate and available to me and that I am actually in this world.
Aside from the completely indecipherable storyline, the set pieces, the whole level with the giant tank that you're like jetpacking around it, that level rules. Like a lot of the levels
are gorgeous game.
Fantastic. Like, it's best graphics at the VGAs. That's nothing to spit at.
Yep.
The campaign is the best, I think, Halo campaign that I played since the original Halo. Yep. But the storyline is so whack.
And I mean my vote's gonna go for Persona 4 because
we didn't talk about any of the
JRPGs,
good stuff.
It's kind of what you were with XCOM.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it all. We'll get to that. Oh,
let's go ahead and move on.
Halo
4, you made a great Halo game, but I wish you'd done something more interesting with it.
Okay, up next is number 8, FTL, versus number 9, Mass Effect 3.
This is the end of the first round.
This is the space round. We're going into turbo mode. Space Mountain. So FTL is a space game, and Mass Effect 3 is a space game.
Sure, but in one, you shoot people.
Yes.
With psychic powers.
And it could technically be anywhere.
Yeah.
And you shoot people in both, though.
Yeah, you can.
God, you're right. There's literally nothing dividing. They're pretty much the same experience across the board.
FTL is another one like XCOM where...
Another not real game.
FTL is another game like XCOM where there is nothing about the influence of FTL that I like. Like, if you had come up to me and said, hey, got a roguelike space sim for you, I'd be like, well, all right, we'll catch you later.
And it looks like just somebody drew a CAD drawing.
Hey, speaking of this, indie developers in 2013.
How about some graphics?
How about graphics? We get it. You love the retro aesthetic. I also know it's easier to make. Like, we're not fooled, okay? You're lazy. Make some real graphics in 2013. We all love the retro aesthetic,
and
too.
Then put it on a disc and sell it with pre-ordered bonuses.
And get some bloom lighting.
See, you guys started... You're taking it to high... I'm serious.
How much better would FTL have been if it was in 3D and you had to navigate the camera the whole
time? The jig is up.
Like move controls at the very least.
I'm not even talking about the perspective. I'm talking about, like, make it look like a spaceship, you know?
Mass Effect 3 is a beautiful game.
It is very nice to look at.
It is the end of
an
epic trilogy.
Yep.
About a guy
and robots. And
there is a galaxy is in trouble, and there is only one person that's going to fix it.
I feel like you guys are being a little short with Mass Effect 3, because coming right after Halo 4, I feel like the storyline in Mass Effect 3 is very well established.
Thank you. You made a great point, because I'm not a huge fan of Mass Effect 3, but I think the storyline is cogent.
They set it up from the beginning.
The storyline is, I'm going to summarize it for a second. Commander Shepard is fighting against weird space robots that come every 10,000 years. That's the storyline.
Exactly.
And not what is Halo?
He's fighting against some alien that everybody knows except you don't know it, except your character knows it, even though you've never met him.
I'm not saying that Halo is a good story. I'm just saying, let's not go overarching
and
story.
And let's also...
That's like Indiana Jones wants a big box. Like, you can
yeah,
he could have just died, and it would have ended the same way.
Right, yeah, I mean...
I think that Mass Effect 3's characters have very, some of them, not all of them, have very elegant arcs that last all three games. Like, what other game has ever done that? Like, the story of, who's the guy with the fucked up face?
Morden Solus?
No, but he has a really good one. Like,
and a fucked up face.
those characters, like, they develop them better than pretty much any game ever develops characters. And despite the game's, like, flaws and weaknesses and how crappy the ending was, especially pre-patch, like, you can't take that away from them. Like, those storylines are some of the best storylines that have ever been in any video.
But a lot of what you're saying, though, is built upon the really high praise and high bar and great storytelling of Mass Effect 2.
Yep.
And I think that a lot of those storytelling chops, like, a lot of it seems to really go off the rails in 3. I mean, 2 is a succinct... Mm-hmm. Well-told story, and 3 just explodes it. And there's moments of success here and there, but it does not. It is not that focused.
It's totally It's the Empire Strikes Back versus Return of the Jedi situation, where it's like, oh, we got to wrap this all up. Let's, instead of making this an intensely personal story, which Mass Effect 2 was, because each character has its own like moment.
Right.
Let's make this like giant epic. You know, Krogan's marching on robots, and it just. My emotional investment in characters, even characters that died, I mean, I cared more than, like, spoiler alert, dying, but... I cared. I can't even...
To make this another thing of, like, my philosophy on games, I think is really summed up by this battle, too. Yes, I know that you hate me, because I care, but, as good as the story was, it's why I don't think chasing... film for storytelling is the best idea, because they put so much work into making this story with all these crazy, you know, choices of what you can say and what you can't say and who you meet and who you don't meet. And then FTL, which barely had any story, affected me more as a storytelling device, because I wanted to come to you and say, hey, you won't believe this crazy thing that happened. I was, you know, patrolling this area of the galaxy, and I met these people who I thought were nice, and I tried to help them, and they boarded my ship, and only one person survived, and I had to shut down all the airlocks to keep them out.
Right.
And it's like, and suddenly I had created this story mostly for myself by filling in the blanks that was more important to me, more valuable than anything I'll ever tell about
that. Yeah, and there's not really a moment in Mass Effect 3 that I can look back and be like, yeah, you remember that time when? Like, I honestly, like right now, I played through the entire game. I, for the life of me, cannot think of a single moment that really stood out for me.
There was that time that you finally hooked up with that space, babe.
That was pretty good. There was that time when you press up against cover and guys start flooding.
So, FTL. And that is the end of the first round.
Woo!
We are no closer. I guess we're one step closer, but God, this next round is going to be a knockdown drag out.
That's the end of the first episode, video episode, of the end of the year Bestie Awards for the Bestie Supreme himself. The current bracket after that round is Hotline Miami will be going up against Journey. Dishonored will be going up against Spelunky. Walking Dead will be going up against Far Cry 3.
That one's going to be so
we
bad.
We will bleed for those games. And Persona 4 will go up against FTL in the best obscure game of the year category.
America, if you can combine those two, I would. That would. Woo.
teens? Demon battles.
Yes.
Spaceship sieging.
Shoot yourself with a phaser. Uh-huh. A demon comes out of your mouth.
Uh-huh.
Sounds good. And we'll be back again next Friday to have these competitors square off against each other in the besties. So be sure to tune in then.
Because
should the world...
I didn't say it. I'm so sorry.
I can't say it now because it would be inauthentic for me to come proclaim us the best friends.
Just
end of show.
No,
best
say it.
Come on.
Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best game?
He did it!
Besties!